Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to take you back to English class today. We're going to start with a term that I think most of you have heard. Oxymoron, right? You remember? An oxymoron is a combination of contradictory words. My favorite one, the initial one I identified with so much because I was a Peanuts fan, was good grief, right? Contradiction, good grief, or maybe deafening silence, right? We could all probably come up with a different one. Well, the Bible narrative presents us with a number of oxymorons, and at least they seem at first to be a contradiction of images. Things like strength and weakness, as in 2 Corinthians verse 12, which says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." A contradiction, right? Or we can go to Jesus' words when he said, "The first or the last shall be first, and the first last." Seems like another contradiction. And today we are confronted with another oxymoron in our text today. It's the title of our sermon, Living Stones. When we think of stones, we think of something like that block over here that's just sitting there, right? It's strong, it's sturdy, but one thing is sure, that stone, it isn't going anywhere, right? It's not going to move, and it surely isn't alive. It isn't living. Strong and unmoving are good traits if you want to build a solid structure like our building next door, right? And with God's blessing, all our facilities will serve as a place where people will come and gather and experience God's love and grace for many years to come, for generations, hopefully. But everyone knows it's a contradiction, an oxymoron to say living stones, because stones can't live and breathe and move. And then we hear our text today from 1 Peter. And this is exactly what the Bible calls each one of you. Living stones. Living stones are those people who have faith in Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, the one who was rejected by men, but is precious and chosen in the sight of God. There's another oxymoron, right? The rejected, chosen one is Jesus. This is our Lord Jesus, who left everything behind in heaven for a time to suffer. Not only rejection by the very same people he came to save, but hatred and lies and humiliation and beating and death. All so he could bring life to a dead and dying world. Life to hearts of stone, like we once had, before we knew the forgiveness and the love and the grace of God through Christ, who died in our place in order to give us life. And so now you are alive in a way that you were not before Christ came into your life, in to live inside you, the day you were baptized. Now you are alive in God and dead to sin, as Romans chapter 6 says, all because of the all-availing sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, who brings the dead to life. But why does the Bible call us living stones? Well, we know this, don't we? It's because we are the church. In contrast to what the world thinks, we know that the church is not primarily a building, though we meet in one every week for worship and the many, many other activities that happen in this place that bring glory to God, the glory that He deserves. Things like men's Bible study, like the one that happened this past Saturday, yesterday morning, the one that Keen Lurch leads. Or the 5-year anniversary celebration of our quilting ministry, Threads of Love, that happened the day before that on Friday. Or the day before that, when the last Stephen ministers gathered together after 25 weeks of training, 2.5 hours every week, giving their time to grow as Stephen ministers who can care for other people in need in our congregation. That happened on Thursday. Or the day before that, on Wednesday, our gathering, right? Lots of things happened on that day. We had the agape dinner or dessert for confirmands. The choir met here. The Bethel Bible class met all on Wednesday. Or the day before that, on Tuesday, when our preschool got together. They actually get together every other day, but I couldn't think of one offhand for Tuesday. Or the day before that, Monday, when our Braille class met and the basic Bible class met. I see some of the faces here that Pastor Griebel leads with the rest of the group, faithful group that shows up here on Monday. Or Via de Cristo that meets throughout the year, Kairos as well. Or the Sunday youth group who meets here Sunday nights. It continues to grow. KFC, Kids for Christ, another group, our board meetings, pastoral counseling. And don't forget all the outside groups that call this place home, that gather here, like La Leche and Momco. And in the future, we still have room for more. God's spiritual house is being built up in this place, not with dead stones, but with living stones, like you, each one of you. By faith, our spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, as our text today from 1 Peter says. It takes many stones to raise a physical building, and it takes many stones, living stones, to raise a church, a spiritual ministry that proclaims the gospel by pointing to the work of God in our lives through the redeeming work of our Lord Jesus. If we were just stones here in this room, well, we wouldn't move, right? Have you seen this guy move yet? I haven't seen him move. Let me know, though, if he does, okay? I'm preaching, so I'm busy. But if he moves, let me know. Stones don't move. Right? They're dead. And stones placed right next to each other would just grind away at each other as the winds of change and life's circumstances would jostle us about. Conflict and frustration would define who we are as patience and grace would grow thin. You can almost hear it. If only all the other stones would quit bumping into me, doing the things that drive me crazy, then I would show grace. If we're not careful to remember the life that God has given us together, then our hearts might become hard and cold like stone, and the life of the church would suffer. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we are living stones, alive in Christ. And because of this, we are fit together perfectly with plenty of room for more stones to join us. New visitors and growing confirmands today. Congratulations, confirmands, in taking your first steps of faith on your own. But this is just the beginning. We have more room for new babies, right? Have you noticed we've had a lot of births lately? God's on the move. And we're moving with Him. All of us built upon the cornerstone of Christ. Each one of us is an important part of what makes a strong church. Through the power of Christ, in the teaching, in the breaking of bread, in the prayers, in the fellowship, all the things we talked about last week in the message from our Acts passage. So as living stones, we are no longer tossed about aimlessly by the rumblings and stumblings of a fallen world. No, living stones alive in Christ can move. And so when conflict does come, and it will come, and when we disagree, even when we hurt each other, even when we sin against each other, we have the power of Christ Himself to go, to move, to be reconciled and healed one to another. Because God calls us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, and so we are. And why? Our 1 Peter text tells us this, so that you and I may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Right? And don't we all need a little light every day in our lives? In the light of the gospel that illuminates our church, we living stones are solid and sturdy like stones, built on the foundation of our risen Savior. But because we are also living, we move. Unlike our friend over here. Is he moved yet? Anybody see him move? Right? He's not going anywhere. He's a dead stone. But we move. And so we move ourselves into worship every Sunday morning. And we look up. Right? That's part of our mission statement. We look up. And we give thanks and praise to our God from whom all blessings and our lives flow. And because we are living alive in Christ, we move about this campus and we look around, the second part of our mission statement. We look around at our brothers and sisters and we seek to join and build a community that genuinely cares for each other. And because we are living stones, we look outward, beyond these walls, willing to open doors in the strong walls of our church building to make room for new people, even building new buildings and new ministries, to make room for one more and one more after that, for any and all who come seeking to know God through His Son, Jesus, as He has revealed Himself in the Word made flesh and the promises that He delivers right here in the sacraments to us. This is the last sermon I'm going to preach in for a while. But this Sunday begins a journey, a new journey for our church. We call it sabbatical, and I'm so thankful for the support of this congregation in letting me take a 3-month vacation. It's maybe what some people think it is. And it is. Rest and refreshment and time with my family is invaluable. But it's more than that because God's at work in all of this. It's no mistake that we're doing this, and it isn't our own design. Make no mistake about it, as real as God is in this place, He's in the midst of these plans. And I'm excited to see what God has in store for all of us. A sabbatical is a time for us to celebrate our community and the ministry that we share together as a family of faith. It's a time to pause and reflect upon where we have been as a church over these 45 years, and to celebrate all the lives that have been touched by this ministry and by our Lord Jesus, and to celebrate all the saints who have been built up, saints like you, built up by our serving together as a spiritual house acceptable to God. But it's also a time for us to look at where God may be calling us to return to Him, right? Maybe some areas where we need to repent, areas where we need to grow up into Christ, right? Not just infants that crave pure spiritual milk, but to move beyond that to solid food as we grow up into our salvation that is already ours in Christ. To step out in faith, to trust God to stretch us, He will, if we're paying attention, right? Individually and as a church. And we won't do this in our own strength, but in the power and the strength and the mercy and the grace of the One who gives us life every day. Yesterday, I was up at Ascension Lutheran Church at the District Leadership Conference. I'm hoping someday soon we'll be able to host a conference here with our facilities that God's blessed us with. And in one of the sessions, I heard this quote that God just dropped on me, and I wanted to share it with you, a challenge for us to think about. One of the speakers said this: "Too often we overestimate what we can do, and we underestimate what God can do." Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is still Easter season. And so let me say this one last time. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ does the impossible. He rose from the grave to give life to the world and to give life to each one of you. Because He is risen, you are living stones, and you have life in Him forever. Not just for this life, for this world. My hope and my prayer for the next 3 months is that this will be a time of God growing us in beautiful ways that bring more unity and clarity and joy and grace to each one of you, to your circles of family and friends, and to this church. May each one of you encounter our living Lord during this time in wonderful ways. And let us continue to be built up as the spiritual house that God is calling us to be. And now may the peace, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.